Here we are. Welcome into Let Me Put a List Together, along with my guy, Brian Mitchell of Minnesota. I'm Mark Grody in Chicago. And what could be more refreshing, more dynamic than discussing something as complicated and real as pop? Today, we are doing our top 14 pops.
Now, I noticed that you're calling it pop, Mark.
Yeah,
pop. Because you're from the Midwest. Now, checking out Insider Magazine, they basically said that it's broken up into three different ways of saying soft drinks. So soda is the preferred term in the Northeast, most of Florida, California, and pockets in the Midwest, around Milwaukee and St. Louis. If you say pop, that's mostly in the Midwest and the West. And Coke, even if it's not the Coca-Cola brand, is what they call it in the South. So, you know, you could say, just give me a Coke, and it's like, you don't really want a Coke, you may want Dr. Pepper. So I find that kind of odd, actually.
I do not acknowledge soda. I'm sorry to our friends and our listeners on the East Coast, but there is no such thing as soda. It's pop, my friend. What, it feels good. If you are one of our listeners in the East, try it. Try it for a week. Say pop. You'll feel better about yourself.
There's only 6% of Americans that use the term soft drinks.
Wow, I don't know that I've ever said that. I'll have a soft drink.
And if you go really deep in the deep South, they say Coca-Cola.
I'm going to hand me a Coca-Cola.
No, not a Coca-Cola. It's Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola?
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of like that. Like, I'm down with the South. I'm just not down with the East. Sorry.
Yeah. Coca-Cola. So you could say if you want a Coca-Cola. That's
Coca-Cola. We're down here having a great day. Take I have a Coca-Cola.
That
Coca-Cola.
Is Mark, that's one of our favorite side stories. You have to let the listeners in.
Okay.
So Mark used to go to school down in Southern Illinois, and he used to hit up the Steak and Shake, and every time it seemed like the same guy was
right at
the drive-through. And how did it sound?
Well, let me get a little more specific with you. First of all, it's not Southern Illinois; it is Central Illinois. That distinction needs to be made.
Oh,
shout out to the 309, yo! It's Central Illinois is different from Southern Illinois, but anyway, yeah, it was a Steak and Shake. I would go through the drive-through when I was in college there, and it was the same. I don't even know if it was a guy or a girl, quite frankly, but I'd get to the up to the drive-through, and the intro of "Have a great day, Steak and Shake. I'll take your order." And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll take the Chili Mac, the triple, and some onion. Okay, Chili Mac, triple, some onion rings right there. Have a great day. Take, come to second window.
Oh.
And it was always that. And but, it's not, and I'm not even exaggerating that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit. Have a great day. Take your order.
Wow.
And it became because it's having a great day at Steak and Shake. Can I take your order? But it almost started to sound like one word. Have a great day. Take your order.
It's almost turning into, you're an auctioneer. Hey, talking about anything again, I'm going to take your order.
That's what I always said that radio talk shows could sometimes sound like, especially on the FM, they could sound like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
You know, coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to give away a couple of prizes. We got weather coming up, we got sports, we got traffic. Sold to the motherfucker in the back row.
It could be very
right.
Well.
Like more of the old school FM. Yeah. Like you don't hear the pukage as much as we used to. And I'm sure I've had my puking moments on the radio too. We've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
But that used to be a way of life on radio.
Yeah.
Like with the old coming up here just a little bit, dig me on. You know, it was the classic radio announcer voice, which I think we've gotten away from for the most part.
Yeah, and that's how we're going to do the rest of this programming is in puke. We're just going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah,
hey,
that was
everybody.
A great idea.
Hey.
What will these people call it? Soda out of the East. Give me a break.
Cow. Hey, we're going to go to John over at Subs and Stuff. He's handing out bumper stickers. And
you know, coming up in 1 minute, it's going to be 2:42. 2 minutes, it's going to be 2:43. In about 5 minutes, it's going to be 2:45. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
We're at the top of the hour right now.
Let's get some shit away. We don't have anything to give away. Okay.
All right. Don't worry about it. We're going out to John. If you meet John out in Subs and Stuff, he's giving away bumper stickers and keychains.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Some of the crap that radio stations give away are just the, like, cozies for your pop, you know, keychains, flash, like tiny little flashlights. Yeah. Oh, sunglasses. I've got about 10 pair of sunglasses, which I do end up using when I inevitably lose the sunglasses that I've purchased. Yes. So
little
I have to say, while I make fun of the things radio stations, my radio station gives away, I have at some point in time used them in practical manners throughout. Exactly. So
sunglasses, hot weather, you need a beverage. That's called a segue. You need a beverage, and we are going to talk about the top 14 soft drinks, soda, pop, Coke, whatever you call it. Now, here is a breakdown of some of the pops that were randomly, and I know that's driving people who drink soda probably nuts. So we'll just say soft drinks. So here are our list of soft drinks. Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, Diet Pepsi, Sprite, Coke, 7-Up, Fanta, RC, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Root Beer, Mr. Pibb, and Squirt are the ones that we're going to be covering. That's 14, Mark. You are doing the honors of starting off at number 14. If you haven't heard the show, I'm sure you have, but basically we take a random list and we build our own lists and then compare them to how close they come to our own personal lists at the end of the show. So, Mark, you are doing number 14.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we've all had it with your explanation. All right,
yeah.
Here's the way it works.
Here we go.
Now, remember, all right, I am going to start this puppy up, and at number 14, I am going to go with root beer.
Okay.
And however, I'm going to be very specific in this. For me, it has to be Barq's root beer.
Okay.
I don't dislike A&W and some of the other root beers, but Barq's is where it's at for me. They call it, they advertise it or had advertised it as the Barq's has the bite, the one with the bite. I do believe it does have a deeper, I don't know what it is. I'm going to make stuff up right now. I'm going to call it a deeper carbonation factor, a little bit more of a spike to it, a little bit more bubbly, a little bit more bite. So I believe in that. And here's the thing with root beer in general with me. I like it when the waiter or waitress or server at a restaurant goes through all the different available pops, and then root beer gets mentioned. Yeah. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I was thinking Coke or Pepsi, but you got Sprite or something. You have root beer. That, like, changes things. It's like, it always makes me contemplate, is this the night I get a root beer? Because it's not always available. So when root beer is available, I tend to get it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, it goes back a long way. Indigenous peoples of America, they used the sassafras root, which is what root beer is made out of, for a bunch of different medical and culinary reasons. But it was really when it to present day, which would be in like 1875, pharmacist Charles Elmer Hires of Hires Root Beer was the man that basically developed the root beer tea from sassafras, and then he began to sell his extract. Now, initially, initially he was a teetotaler, so he was totally against alcohol. So he wanted to call the beverage root tea, but because of the coal miners in Pennsylvania, basically they decided to call it root beer. So that's how you got it. And of course, after Hires, you had Barq's and then A&W root beer. And I have to tell you, on a personal note, my favorite way to do root beer is always in a float. I'll skip the whole blizzard and go just old school right for the root beer float. Not a bad start to our list. So root beer.
BTW, real quick, do you have a preference in which root beer? Like, I'm a Barq's guy. Do you care?
I do like Barq's. I mean, it's probably one of my favorite, and I definitely can tell the difference. So it's either A&W or Barq's. I mean, they got like other popular brands like IBC that's out. That's almost like the craft beer.
Oh yeah, I forgot about IBC.
So that's good, and you know, they serve it in a frosty mug at A&W, which makes it even...
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's
distinct, though. It is a distinct flavor, for sure. It's very sassafrassy or whatever you were saying.
You just got to be in the mood for it, all right?
You're right.
All right.
You're right.
So number 14, we have at Root Beer, and I think we've covered that quite well. My number 13 is going to be Fanta. And the reason it's so low on this list is where it originated. Fanta originated as a Coca-Cola substitute in the 1940s because there was a trade embargo against Nazi Germany. So guess what? Nazi Germany created Fanta as a replacement for Coke.
Well, now I feel horrible about this entire show. Should Fanta even... The fact that I have them higher on this list, I feel like a horrible American right now. So Jesus, man. Wow.
Coca-Cola said, nah, we're not going to sell to the Nazis. And they're like,
they'll make Fanta. It's been a Kleinmann, and it's been Fanta.
Sorry, Mr. German. We're not going to sell to you because you're a Nazi.
It's been a Kleinmann, and it's been Fanta.
Remember, my last name.
Grota.
That's right. Yep. The thing is they just kind of threw this together and just used, like, whatever was available in Germany at the time. I think they had beet sugar, whey, and some apple pomace, they say, and then that's how they made Fanta.
Okay.
Okay, so right. Fanta has a horrible history. I know people drink it and they like it, but I didn't want to rain on the parade, but that's my life.
I am now scratching out the notes in my head, and Fanta sucks. That's my read on Fanta. Yes. No, I will say this about Fanta. Like, Fanta is as it exists now and not in Nazi Germany
times.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Times.
The orange version, though, was created in Italy. So there was a different version of it. So, okay, the orange version, if you're drinking that, the original one is, I don't believe, is in existence anymore. So feel safer just drinking the orange one.
Well, I will say this, and based on what you said, this is going to make even more sense because I had originally jotted this down, that Fanta to me seems like a survivor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it never has been at the front. It's always on the back shelf at the grocery store. It's like, oh, Fanta, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on sale? Okay, you know what? I'm not going to get the Fanta. Like, it's an on sale thing. Yeah. If it's on sale, you can try the Fanta.
Or if you got kids, yeah, it's the go-to because. You don't really want them to have, you know, the Coke because of the caffeine. And, you know, sometimes Sprite just gets boring, so they may go for a Fanta.
Yeah, and grape and orange are fun kids' flavors for
absolutely.
Sure. All right, I think we've done a great job on Nazi Fanta. Good God.
It's been Klein!
All right, what's number 12?
Mr. Pibb.
Oh. Mr. D.
Yeah.
Mr. Pibb. Okay, Mr. Pibb. Dear Mr. Pibb, I don't know what you are. I don't know why you are, but I like you. I like you. Are you root beer? Are you Dr. Pepper, dear Mr. Pibb? It's all good. I like you anyway. Like I was saying, Mr. Mitchell, about the novelty of root beer on the restaurant menu, Mr. Pibb, to me, is like a vending machine novelty.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's an afterthought.
Yes. but it makes you think. It's like, okay, Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, Mountain Dew.
Mr. Pibb.
Tell me more.
Tell me that is not your thought when you were at one of those self-serve stations at a fast food restaurant. And seriously, all of a sudden you'll get like that curveball. Like, you know, the manager of that place is like, watch this. Watch me screw with these guys. And he throws up Mr. Pibb. It's like, Mr. Pibb.
Oh,
cool.
Right. And then you get it and it's sort of disappointing, but it's like not bad. But you're sort of like, I probably should have got the Diet Coke because I like Diet Coke, but I got the Pibb and I feel good. And now I know what Mr. Pibb tastes like. So that's what I have to say about Mr. Pibb. I don't know what you are. I don't know why you are, but I like you every once in a while. Mr. Pibb at number 12.
Mr. Pibb, basically a competition to Dr. Pepper. Very close in flavor. First introduced as Peppo. That went away because Dr. Pepper said, hey, that sounds too much like Dr. Pepper. So does Peppo sound too much like Dr. Pepper? Is that what you're doing? Okay.
Yeah, it does.
So they got rid of that. So they reformulated it, and now it comes as Pibb Extra. They added some cinnamon flavor. And,
what?
Yeah. And so it might
cinnamon
taste a little
flavor.
Yeah, so it might taste a little bit different from what you are used to.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and you're right. It's Pibb with an X. X T R A.
Pibb
Extra.
Neat. Edgy.
Yeah, edgy. Edgy. There's no time for that E. I'm on the move. X.
T-R-A. Nice.
That's right.
All right. So Mr. Pibb at number 12. Now, I am doing the next one, which is number 11.
You're buying time. I hear it in your voice.
Oh, I know. I'll edit this out later. and that, too.
How about that?
So number 11. I like how we're just kind of like rolling through all these pops that are at the bottom, because they're just like throwaways. They're not like the big
totally.
They're not the biggins. And
no, I have, but they're entertaining.
Yeah, and I have stories about them. Like, you know, RC Cola, which is Royal Crown Cola, was discovered. Oh,
is this your number 11, dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
So number 11 is Royal Crown Cola, or RC Cola, officially founded in Columbus, Georgia. And the reason that this came to be was basically the owner of this grocery store was pissed off at Coke because he was buying large amounts of the Coke syrup and wasn't getting any kind of discount. The salesman would not budge on it. So he's like, screw it. I'm going to go in the basement and I'm going to make my own. So he started making all different kinds of Royal Crown products. First one was ginger ale in 1905. And as you know, as we got farther and farther into it, they had the Royal Crown Cola, and then they had Diet Right, which was one of the first diet colas, which, yeah, I'm not a fan of. It's like, you go to, it's always like these hole-in-the-wall restaurants, and you walk in there, and you're like, yeah, I'll have this and this and a Diet Coke. Diet Right? And I'm like, no. Seriously, Diet Right, number one, tastes nothing like Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. It's like, it's carbonated cardboard taste.
Well, and the aftertaste is awful with Diet Right. And didn't Diet Right predate, though, the Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi?
Yes.
Like, and
yes,
the Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi perfected it, because it's all about the and we'll get to those obviously later.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But like, Diet Right just had they had the right idea.
Yeah.
And they just didn't perfect it.
I mean, that's exactly what they did. So I'm not a huge Diet Right fan, which is kind of like a takeoff of RC, but RC is at a picnic. It's at a picnic. It's just there. It's like, oh, what colas do we have? Well, guess we have RC. You know, it's like, that's what we have. That's it.
No, you know? It's like, hey, look, it's not Coke. It's not Pepsi. It's awful. It's RC.
Yeah.
Like, I got to tell you, I do not like, I want to like RC because it's usually cheaper and it seems fun and it's two letters and all that kind of stuff. Like, but it is watered down Pepsi and Coke. Like, if I had been RC, I would have stolen or done my best to use that formula and sell it for cheaper. I mean, that's the idea, right? They're trying to compete with the big boys, but the flavor ain't there. And one of my references, too, to RC are memories or places where I put it is in college. One of my buddies, he used that as a hangover elixir. That's the only time you would drink it. You'd get up in the morning and drink like a six-pack of RC because it worked for some reason.
Hey, you want an RC? I'm not feeling good. You want one too?
Here's an RC in a Newport menthol. That was his go-to. That tells you everything you need to know about RC.
And it was down south. Well, not down south, but you know, mid Illinois. What is it?
Central
Illinois.
You've learned nothing else from this. Learn to distinguish that there's more than Chicago in the state of Illinois, Brian.
Another tidbit: in the 1950s, Royal Crown Cola and Moon Pies. Do you know what a Moon Pie is, right?
It's like
were popular. They were called the working man's lunch in the American South. So that's Moon Pies is working man's lunch?
And that is why the United States is the fattest country in the world. It starts with the South.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, they didn't want to drink Fanta because, you know, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Guys, you've been climbing my heart, my hein, my Fanta.
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 That's okay. Number 11. Number 10.
All right, so number 10, I am going to go with one of the, maybe the most unique of the pops on this list. I'm going to say Squirt. This citrusy delight, Brian, is I'm gonna say it. It is the greatest alcohol mixer or chaser of all time, because you can mix it with whatever you want. Now, I will again say that it my first experience with Squirt was as a chaser for tequila shots when I was 19 and visiting my brother Paul at the University of Iowa. So you have to understand that's my point of reference. When I smell Squirt to this day, I smell bad Jose Cuervo. I have trouble getting past that, but I think it's really good and different and fruity and citrusy and just, you know what, I'm going to say it, delightful pop.
Yes, it is. I also am tied to a memory with, like, the Squirt flavor.
Touché.
You know, Squirt is very similar to Canfield's 50-50. Do you remember Canfield's 50-50?
Yeah, but I don't know that I've had it. Go on.
Okay, it's a Chicago-based company, Canfield, and they used to make all different kinds of soft drinks. And they had one that was like Squirt. And my mom, what she used to do every Christmas when I was between the ages of, you know, 3 and 5, she would make a punch. And what she would do is she would use Canfield 50-50 and then put globs of sherbet, like different flavored sherbet.
Oh, that's so good.
And then mix it up. And it was awesome. And I think she made it like 2 years in a row in the late 70s and then never made it again.
Oh,
so,
man.
So whenever I have the Squirt, which is kind of like Canfield's because I can't get that. And I don't even know if Canfield's is still in business, but you can't get the 50-50 out here in Minneapolis. So you got to go for the Squirt. But no, it is. It's a fun drink. And if it's there and you're in that mood for just something kind of refreshing and citrusy, that's what it's about. So I love me some Squirt. As you said, it's used as a mixer. It was popular in many parts of the country, especially the West and the Southwest. And in the 50s, it was used as a mixer. So you were falling right in line with what it was for.
Why? I got to know now. Sidebar. Why did Anne make it twice? And your mom.
Yeah.
Why did she make it twice and then retire from making that delicious sounding punch?
I have no idea. And you know what? I used to ask her, how come you never make the? Because it was tied into Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
For me, when I was young. So
what happened?
4 or 5 years old. You know, you're checking the skies for Santa. All this fun stuff. You got the Canfield's 50-50 and the sherbet going on there. The punch. I don't know what happened.
Maybe she read something. She's like, I read that it has way too much. Like, if you add sugar to sugar, it's bad on kids. They can't process it.
Well, I already told you in the cereal episode about how my mother, you know, we were having like Honeycomb and Lucky Charms and, you know, Fruity Pebbles. And all of a sudden she saw something on 60 Minutes. And then the next week we're having Chex, Wheat Chex,
Cheerios,
anything. It's basically nothing with sugar.
Right. You know? Something, everything's like dash brand,
yeah,
right?
So,
it's
yeah.
like this
so
brand.
Then I remember us having like this little sugar canister, and you'd just go and probably put more sugar in it than was actually in the regular cereal. So
boom, you got Apple Jacks. There it is.
Kind of backfired.
Put some sugar on, you got Fruit Loops. Done.
There it is. Boom. And it made my day. Squirt, number 10. Now we're going to number 9. And number 9 is going to be another one of those that just kind of appears, probably more popular when you were a kid and you were all about the wild, wild flavors, and that is Crush. Crush just has a cool name to it.
I mean,
how cool is that? Crush. Say it with me, Mark. Crush.
Crush.
It's cool. Yeah. There it is. Crush. Right.
Cool cans. Cool. They got the little bubbles on the cans. Yep.
Crush. You got Orange Crush, you got Grape Crush, you got all different kinds, different flavors, and started in 1911 by Clayton J. Howell. Basically, he partnered with this guy named Neil Ward, and of course, Ward was up there mixing up the soft drinks.
He's up there mixing them up. There he is.
Neil Ward. C. Ward.
He's always mixing up something.
No, seriously. Half these guys were like pharmacists, just like mixing up different flavors.
Sure. They're like chemists.
Yeah, they are. They're basically chemists. So they're mixing up all these different flavors. First called Ward's Orange Crush. Now, tidbit, originally, Orange Crush was made with orange pulp in the bottles to give it a fresh squeezed illusion.
Okay. Wait, there's motherfucking pulp? There was pulp in pop?
Yeah. But it hasn't been It hasn't been used in decades.
Holy shit.
So there you go. That is a little bit of background on Orange Crush. Mark, your feelings about Orange Crush, and I know
I have deep, heavy feelings about, like, Grape Crush. I feel like you just kind of blew it off as, like, it's number nine. This is something when you're a kid. Dude, Grape Crush, way higher on my list.
Oh,
I love the Crushes, and there is, like, it's hard to find good grape drinks, man. Mm-hmm. Like, just in general. So I love the and I like the Orange Crush too, but, you know, I am definitely obsessing over Grape Crush. There is nothing to me more refreshing and flavorful than artificial grape flavor, sugar, and carbonated water. There is, I'm going to use the word intensity. There's an intensity Ooh. About Grape Crush, the carbonation, the flavor, the sugar, the whole thing. So I'm a huge, I don't get it often because it's a train wreck health-wise,
yes.
But I love Grape Crush.
I just introduced my little guy Jet, he's what, seven?
Something
introduced
like
him to the Crush recently.
Does he love it?
Yes, he does. And he likes the different flavors. He likes the strawberry one. That's one of his favorite.
Oh, that's
orange,
right. Strawberry.
You know, and a lot of times, like when he's at you know, a restaurant or whatever, they will only have Orange Fanta, and I'll say, "Hey, you Nazi heathen, don't buy it."
Ich bin klein.
I said, get your Crush.
No more Fanta. We drink Crush in this family.
Remember, the Orange Crush was made by the Italians, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah, the paisans.
It's made in Italy. Yeah, it's made in
Got
Italy.
Got you.
All right. But initially, Fanta.
All right, Crush boy. All right, so Crush is number nine, mm-hmm. And that would bring us to number eight, and that'd be me. Give me 1 second. Scanning, looking, we're walking. I'm going to go with Sprite.
Oh, wow.
I hit a sensitive spot with Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, I guess.
nothing to not like about Sprite. Simple, lemon lime, and a very successful, unlike RC trying to compete with Coke and Pepsi, a mm-hmm. very successful competitor to 7-Up.
Absolutely.
And there is just enough of a distinction between Sprite and 7-Up. Like, I can tell the difference between the two. I don't know what it is. I don't know that I could describe it or tell you chemistry-wise what the difference is. And, you know, every once in a while, I'm like, I would prefer a Sprite over a 7-Up. And so it's good. And, oh, here's another one, too. Like, I'm thinking of, like, other competitors for the clear pop, the 7-Up. The reason I give Sprite so much credit is because, like, Slice. Remember Slice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, they failed. Like, they tried to jump in on the... Actually, I don't know. Maybe it still exists. I have no idea. But they have, relatively speaking, they failed to compete with the clear soft drinks.
Yeah.
And I think it was marketed... Like, Sprite is marketed very well. Very hip, young...
Yep.
Superstar at, like, LeBron James doing Sprite, and, you know, so
they were the first to use, like, underground hip hop artists too, like Quest and all those, and yeah, absolutely. So
it's a hip drink.
Yep.
So yeah, I give them a lot. It's a good soft drink, and I give them a ton of credit for sparing no expenses promoting their product.
Well, the Germans were at this one again, but it was
what. Nice.
It was in 1959, though.
Oh, so. Dude, come on.
Made in West Germany, called Clear Lemon Fanta. That's originally what it was.
Brian's list of Nazi pops.
I'm telling you, dude.
Let me put a list together. Boy, we have gone dark.
Yeah, we've moved, but they've moved beyond all that. That's way beyond all that. It's just
history.
We're a
different world.
That's right. Yeah. So it was introduced, of course, as a competitor to 7-Up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it comes in a lot of different flavors. Have you ever had, like, the ones where it's mixed with different stuff, like cranberry or cherry or any of those?
Cranberry?
Those
pronounced cranberry. Yeah, cranberry.
I have to say it cranberry? No, I don't.
Yeah, cranberry. That's what I like you to say. I've not had the mixed Sprite
A lot
flavors.
Of times, like, the cranberry, they'll come out...
Cranberry.
Around, like, the holidays. I always see this.
Ah, how clever of them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Sprite, a little bit higher on my list just because it's a go-to. I mean, the kids can drink it because it doesn't have any caffeine in it. And, you know, no one's going to be bouncing off the walls.
It's good for everybody, the family. The kids like it.
It's the go-to, dude. It's the go-to. Because usually it starts like this. All right, what do you want to drink? Can I have a Coke? No, you can't have a Coke. Can I have a Mountain Dew? No, you can't have a Mountain Dew. Then I usually say, well, how about a Sprite? Okay. And then that's it, you know, because they know they're not going to get cranked.
Right. You're right. It's a perfect alternative. Like, yeah, because it is. It's like, everyone's like, you know, I'm going to have the Sprite.
All right, Mark. Number 8 is Sprite. And I will match your Sprite with number 7. Now, get this. 7-Up.
Oh, if I may, I've been waiting to pounce on 7-Up, and I probably should have done it earlier instead of interrupting you right now, but I must do this because I've been waiting the whole podcast to do this. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Cool and clean, no caffeine. I'm sorry, but that was like four.
Is that some type of... Santa Claus impression?
Dude, that's the 7-Up guy. He's that one guy in the 7-Up commercials who always did the laugh thing at the end of the commercials, made me feel good about drinking 7-Up.
He had the white hat and black guy. Holder. That's it. Jeffrey Holder, he did the Uncola campaign.
Yes, the Uncola.
The Uncola, exactly.
Yeah, so he's awesome.
So basically why... That you, if you drink 7-Up, it's the Uncola, so, you know, going against the big heavy hitters like Pepsi and Coke.
Sure. Ours is cool and clean and refreshing, and you could bathe in it. It is natural because it's clear. You can see it. It's not that foggy Coca-Cola. I mean, it's really ingenious that they went with that because they had to, right? I mean, you had to do something the polar opposite of the dominating brown drinks.
Yeah. You know, it's... 7-Up is another one like Squirt that is always known as that perfect mixer. You know, in fact, I know that you remember everybody, hey, I'll have a 7-7, you know, Seagram 7 Crown.
Yes.
7-Up.
Yes. I don't know what they are.
I'll have a CC and 7. It just sounds fun to order it, you know, I'll have a 7-7. Yeah, cool. Right.
Yeah.
Or CC and 7 Canadian Whiskey. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Right. 7-7.
Yeah, a little 7-7, man. So,
right. 7-Up. Cool and clean, no caffeine.
Yeah, that's right. Cool and clean, no caffeine. Love the taste of 7-Up. Actually, I think I like the taste better than Sprite. I'm going to have to say it.
You said it.
I did.
I will admit, too, I'm kind of, and probably because 7-Up came before Sprite, like, I am 7-Up loyal myself. I don't dislike Sprite. I drink Sprite. But, yeah, if I really had to say which one, where my loyalty lies, it would be with 7-Up. So I'm with you on that.
And it's because, thanks to Jeffrey Holder, R.I.P.
That's right. Cool and clean, no caffeine.
How could you not remember that?
That is true. All right, so that's 7-Up at number 7.
Yes.
We're getting into the good stuff.
Okay.
We are up to number 6. Mm-hmm. Let me just take a peruse.
Oh, what are you doing? Stalling. I hear you stalling, Mark.
No, I'm not stalling. I'm perusing. I'm perusing the list just to make sure
You don't have your list, do you?
I'm good. Trying to do justice to our...
You do not have a list.
Our listening audience. All right. We're at what, number 6? All right, buddy. Here we go. I'm going to go with Diet Pepsi.
Ooh.
For number 6. Diet. And I will say that, again, I can distinguish Diet Pepsi from Diet Coke. And I've always thought, and I'll probably say the same thing when regular Pepsi comes up, there has always been something like with Pepsi, Diet Pepsi in this case, it's just a little bit sweeter. It doesn't necessarily make it better. Mm-hmm. And the aftertaste is a little bit different. I mean, that's the whole trick with any of the diet pops is to try to control the aftertaste and the fake sugar to make the fake sugar good. And Diet Pepsi is one of the dominators. I mean, they have done that. And so I obviously prefer the other diet. I prefer Diet Coke. We'll get to Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. But Diet Pepsi is very good, is what I would say.
No, I love Diet Pepsi. And for some reason, I do like eating a diet, you know, after eating food or whatever, a Diet Pepsi is really good. I like it. I mean, I think it goes good with, you know, the burgers and fries. So when you're at the, you know, the ordering the food and you're like, yeah, I'm going to have the double Whopper and a large fry. And then, you know, I'll have a Diet Pepsi.
Right.
Oh,
you're
that sounds
guy.
Great. Yeah, yeah, I am that guy.
Sure.
Originally called Patio Diet Cola in 1963, rebranded as Diet Pepsi in 1964. And it was the first Diet Cola to be distributed on a grand national scale in the United States. So Pepsi, Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi, must distinguish.
Number six.
Must go faster, yes. Must go faster.
Must go faster. All right. So number six, Diet Pepsi. You know, let's go for it. Let's do number five.
Okay, Bri.
As Pepsi.
Ooh.
See that? I just
fun.
Keeping it tied, keeping it together. Pepsi's got a great story because, I mean, Pepsi was one of the ones that took on the big dog. You know what I mean? Taking on Coca-Cola. And it was originally created and developed in 1893 by Calum Bradham and introduced as Brad's Drink.
What's Brad's Drink?
It's
mine. You can't have it. It's mine.
Named Pepsi Cola in 1898, then shortened to Pepsi. Of course, you know the whole tie-in because they thought it relieved indigestion when you drank it. So it was a great product. And maybe that's why I like it when I eat, you know, those kinds of foods. Because it is, maybe goes down better than a Coke or a Sprite or that. So, but a delicious cola flavor. I will say it does taste sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
I think, than Coke.
Yeah.
And I am not one of those guys that is going to differentiate. I know there are people that are hell-bent on, you know, if you say, can I have a Diet Coke? And they go, Pepsi, you know, Diet Pepsi okay? Or
right.
I want a Coke. Oh, is Pepsi okay?
Right.
It's like, yeah, I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess there are people that are like hardcore, no, I'm not drinking Pepsi, or no, I'm not drinking Coke. So, but that is a little bit of hit. What's your feeling on Diet Pepsi or a Pepsi? Because we already covered Diet Pepsi. So
I mean, there's not a huge, because I agree with you and I said about Diet Pepsi. Yes, I definitely can taste the sweetness. I also am like you in that if I go to a restaurant, if it's Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, no problem. I do prefer Diet Coke, but Diet Pepsi is I got no issue with it. I got a ton of respect for Pepsi and Diet Pepsi in general. You said it at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They dared compete with Coke. And they've done a great job. With pouring the millions into their advertising campaigns and sponsoring things and stadiums named after it. I mean, it is like, look, Coca-Cola is Americana, but Pepsi is certainly in the team photo, the Americana team photo as well. They've earned that.
Yep.
And I think there are fewer people now or less people who distinguish who are the people who say, nope, if it's Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, I don't want it. Like, I think that Pepsi is, if they haven't already caught up with Coke, they're pretty damn close.
Absolutely.
So a lot of thumbs up to Pepsi and Diet Pepsi.
Absolutely. And also really started booming in popularity during the Great Depression, because what they did was really smart. Pepsi introduced a 12-ounce bottle in 1934. So prior to that, all they were is 6.5-ounce servings of Coke or Pepsi. But then they doubled that, hit it with radio advertising, and you get twice as much for the same price. You got to love it. That's the way they did it. So, and made it popular, and it grew from there. So, Pepsi, congratulations. I'm glad that you are in the top five.
Five, yep.
We go on to number four. Mark, what do you have?
I'm going to go Coke. Coca freaking cola, man.
Wow, okay.
It's an absolute powerhouse, and
yes,
that's the only soft drink that on this list that I would say that about. It is a true standalone freaking, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, there are people who, when they want a soft drink, they just call it a Coke. I've probably done that, and I know that you said that seems to be reserved for the South, but I've heard it in the North too. It is, as I teased, it is Americana. I remember when, and I'm sure you do, I bet you wore Coca-Cola clothing all the time because you're kind of a hipster.
You know what the thing was? There's a good story behind that, and it's still, and I still tell my mom this to this day. Okay, so in seventh grade, I wanted a Coca-Cola rugby.
I bet you did.
And they were like $40 in, what is this, 87? A $40 rugby.
Spit take in the
80s. Yeah, in the 80s. A $40 rugby in 1987. And my mom was like, what, are you nuts? And I'm like, Mom, I want this. So she never bought me the Coca-Cola rugby. So that's still like an ongoing thing. Like I'll see her. Still never got me that Coca-Cola rugby. I'll still bring it up. It's like, she's like, oh, you know, I can get you one now. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
You know what mine is, man? What? Mine is what I never got as a kid. Now we're sidebarring here. Parachute pants. It was a non-starter in my house. Those are $75. No way are we getting you parachute pants. So I bet you had several pairs.
Yeah,
of
you
those.
Know, no, I really never got into parachute pants. I was always into, like, you know, when I did my little break dancing, I was always in like my Russell Athletic sweatpants.
Okay, you know, yeah. So. And your Adidas,
and my Adidas, yeah. So I never really went full parachute pants. I never got those. Maybe because it was too expensive. But I did get the, what are they called? The Cavaricis? Now, my mom.
Z Cavaricis.
My mom got me the black Cavaricis. You want to know why? It's because I could wear them to church. They were nice. That
she was willing to the expenditure became justified.
Yes,
by
because
God.
She, you know, you could wear, you looked nice when you wore it. You looked sharp. So that's why she, you know, you could put it with my different Parker Lewis can't lose shirts. I don't know if you remember that shirt.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, the Parker Lewis can't lose look.
You
know?
Oh,
like,
man.
All the different, you know, everything was mustard back then for some reason. Everything was mustard and
button
to the
top.
Exactly.
I love it. That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
But yeah, so the Coca-Cola shirt, never got that. Everybody loves the story about Coke is because when it was originally created, it actually had cocaine in it. So awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, no wonder people were getting addicted to it.
Bro.
It's kind of nice when, you know, it has a little bit of a drug in there to pep you up, you know?
Well, a little bit of a drug. Like it's aspirin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cocaine. That's not a little bit of a drug. That's a lot of bit of a drug. Yeah.
So, and not only that, but like no one knows the actual recipe of it. I guess it's like locked up, like triple locked up, because it's a trade secret and no one knows what Coke is made out of.
I don't really want to know what's in any of the pops, honestly, like, because it's all trash. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. They're delicious, but it's trash.
I know. And as we've, you know, covered through a lot of these different soft drinks that have come up, it's usually because they were pissed off at Coke. I mean, like RC pissed off at Coke, you know?
Sure.
The Germans pissed off at Coke because they
couldn't do this better.
Because they couldn't get it, you know? They just made these alternatives to this great, as you said, powerhouse product. And it's advertising. I mean, it is Americana. You see that Coca-Cola logo, that is as America as the American flag. Coca-Cola is number four.
Four, yes. You, sir, have number three.
Number three, I am going to say Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper was a go-to in my, you know, early teen years. I used to love Dr. Pepper. I'd drink that all the time. Now, not so much, because you can't really, you know, all the sugar that's in there and all the carbs. I mean, you drink two Dr. Peppers and you're done. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't eat for the rest of the day because you've used all your calorie intake. It was created by a pharmacist, of course, surprise there, Charles Alderton, in Waco, Texas. And they nationally marketed it in 1904, and now it's sold all over the world, and it has that little bit of bite to it. And I don't know if we exactly know what is making that little bit of a bite, but he made it at his drugstore in Waco, Texas, and he offered it to the owner, and then he found it to his liking, and then they started serving it at the soda fountain, and it became a huge thing, and then they took it nationwide. So originally it was saying that it aids in digestion, restores vim, vigor, and vitality. That's what you get when you drink Dr. Pepper.
This aids in digestion thing is such a scam. My God. So that was like the big thing with the pop scam. They get aid in digestion. No, they don't. They hurt digestion, as a matter of fact.
Not only that, and they dry, you know, they give you diabetes. Great.
Yeah, right. And I mean, Dr. Pepper definitely goes in for me, the root beer Mr. Pibb family. It is part of that. It is a related cousin in that genus. And for me, I don't know if you, if from what I'm about to say, you probably can't relate to, because it sounds like you drank the fully leaded Dr. Pepper. But what distinguishes Dr. Pepper from all other soft drinks for me, its diet version tastes the same as its regular version. And I can't say that about any other pops. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but but it is very, very similar to like like the fully leaded.
Yeah, absolutely. I do drink, and all of these I drink on the diet scale. So Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke,
we have no
Diet
choice,
Dr. Pepper. Yeah, you've just got it. You got to go for it. Yep, absolutely. 23 made with 23 flavors. So can you figure out the flavors?
No, there's not 23 flavors in Dr. Pepper.
Yes, that's it. It's a new kind of pop.
Really?
That's what it says.
It's a newer. Do you remember the commercial where the one guy goes, Dr. Pepper?
No.
No. That's about all I had. I was hoping that you'd seen it and you'd be able to expand on it.
I'm a pepper, you're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
And hopefully
you love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I do. I do like me some Dr. Pepper. And hopefully we do a show on famous ad slogans.
I like it. I like your thinking, kid.
All right. So that's number three, Dr. Pepper. We are up to the top two. And Mark, I think I know what your number two is going to be.
My number two, because there's two left. It's going to be Mountain Dew. Is that what you suspected I would go with?
Absolutely.
It is such a great. So Mountain Dew, they have achieved something spectacular. Mm-hmm. A couple things, actually. Their flavor is Mountain Dew flavor. You know what I mean? Yep. It's not lemon lime. It's not Sprite. It's not it doesn't seem. I mean, I'm sure it is a ripoff of somebody, but it's gotten to the point where like when you describe Mountain Dew, it's just Mountain Dew. It's Mountain Dew flavor. That's what it is. They win the battle of refreshing.
Yep.
It's a very refreshing drink. I love the color. The color is awesome. There's a real caffeine buzz derived from, like, it's the only pop that I mean, they all have caffeine, and you could probably feel a little pop in your brain when you're drinking any of the caffeine-filled pops. But the caffeine buzz is real when it comes to Mountain Dew. And then I will say this about Mountain Dew. The commercials are just a blast. Babes and people playing in the water and having fun. Mountain Dew is like the way they market Mountain Dew. It's like they do it like it's an alcoholic beverage, but obviously there's no alcohol in it. Like, this is the party pop, man. And you better be outdoor in the 90 degree heat when you're enjoying Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, you know what that's a slang term for?
Negative.
Whiskey.
See? Yeah. How about that? I nailed it. I said it was like an alcoholic drink.
Yes.
Look at me. And I win the show.
And the Hartman brothers, who created Mountain Dew, they made it as a mixer. So that initially is what it was sold for.
Not so much anymore, is it? Because I don't hear Mountain Dew as a mixer. 7-Up, Sprite, Squirt, but not Dew. You?
Okay. Nah, I don't think so.
All right.
So, and then, of course, it, you know, launched from there. I gotta tell you, I mean, I love, in the morning, if you're going to drink something with that caffeine content, you need that boost like coffee.
Yeah.
You got to grab yourself a Mountain Dew. A diet
that
one
does
for
it.
Me, of course.
Yes.
And yeah, it is. It's a great taste. It's refreshing. I totally get into Mountain Dew. I could have it anytime as long as it's diet. But my kids, the same thing. I mean, they are addicted to Mountain Dew, but I don't want them to get Mountain Dew mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where their teeth are rotting out. So Mountain Dew is a very, 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 very limited drink in our house. But they do like it once in a while, and I do reward them.
Have you had that's adorable that you reward your children.
Thank you very little.
Have you ever had the Code Red Mountain Dew?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's a party.
Yeah.
That's a party. I love it. But here's the thing. It is very hard to find the diet Mountain Dew Code Red. When I see it's very rare.
Really?
So when I do see it at random, I don't know, maybe it's just in where I live. I never can find it. It's all with the Code Red regular, but if I find the diet, I'm like stocking up, yo.
Absolutely. And not only that, but they're always like sponsoring like the cool things like
X Games.
Yeah, and things like that. Suns just played in a Mountain Dew Blast tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You saw their shirts. Remember
yep.
at the Cubs game when we went to that?
Yep.
They had those, so they did their full advertising on that, and it was a really cool design on there. So, yeah, they're getting in the heads of the kids, man. I'm telling you.
Smart.
Very smart. So, number two, Mountain Dew. And, of course, moving on to number one, and this is probably one of the most popular drinks of anybody in our age range, because I know that the up-and-coming generations basically stay away from pop. In fact, they're having a lot of issues with turning, you know, the younger generations onto soda at all, especially Diet Coke, because I'm sure that they're...
Sparkling water is the rage,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they want to stay healthy, you know, and not drink the aspartame that is in our number one drink, Diet Coke. Diet Coke, you know what? I prefer Coke Zero, Mark, over a Diet Coke.
Yeah, well, Coke Zero tastes like regular Coke, so that to me.
Yeah. You think it tastes exactly like regular Coke?
I kind of do. Like, I actually had one of those at a graduation party recently, and I do like Coke Zero. They're very good. I don't trust them, though. Like, it's almost like, to me, it does taste too much like the regular Coke. Yeah. That, what are you guys putting in here to make this so good? There's no way this is so this healthy enough for
me. I'm enjoying a cherry Coke Zero right now.
It's
delicious. So,
really, you're not talking about Diet Coke, then? You're talking about a completely different category.
What's going on here? It's not on this list, okay? First of all, when Diet Colas came out, all they had was Diet Right, okay? And we already covered what Diet Right tasted like, all right? And then Coke came out with Diet Coke, which was a go-to for a long time, okay?
Then
once I tasted the Coke Zero, it's kind of become my Diet Coke.
Okay, I see. I see what you're doing. I do see what you're doing, but it's semi unacceptable because it was not on the list, and I was not prepared to talk about Coke Zero. That our computer program did not put that down. But I that's fine.
I'm sure it on there.
All right, it's on there. Well, it's there. It's there. So, and I'm sure there's lots of people that are like, yes, Coke Zero, that's the shit.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that you have much of our audience is probably like, yeah, man, that's pretty good shit. That's good. That's the stuff.
But, see, and in 2005, the company introduced Coca-Cola Zero, renamed Coca-Cola Zero Sugar in 2017, a sugar-free formula more closely based on original Coca-Cola.
See?
Now that tastes like it.
Right. All right. Well, then I will do some justice to Diet Coke.
Okay, go ahead.
You haven't. You've not.
Please do.
I'm getting a little emotional here now. It's the drink that I switched to. I switched the samples when everybody told me that drinking regular Coke is like the worst thing in the world you could do. And I remember when I was younger watching older people drink Diet Coke and thinking, ew, that's disgusting. I would never drink that. Yeah. And then I made the switch. And I remember at first it was kind of tough, but I was like, you know, I got to do this. If I want to drink four or five pops a day, I probably should not be drinking the fully leaded stuff. And it's good. And it's like, I actually like now, like when I drink a regular Coke now, this is going to sound so old, but it's like, oh, this is just too sweet. I can't, like, I really, like, I got to ice it down. Like if it's regular Coke.
Nope, can't do it.
You know what I mean?
I can't.
You get that like sugar goober in your throat, you know? Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect, dude.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So no, all of these full bodied ones, I can't really drink at all.
Right?
But man, when we were kids, dude, they went down like water. Holy cow. You'd be outside, it'd be like 105 degrees out. You'd run inside, be like, what do I got to drink? Go have some water. You'd go and get like, you know, can of Coke, shove it down, go back out, play, you know.
Yeah, you drink like the whole thing, and your mom would be like, don't slow down. You're going to give yourself a stomachache. Like, you can't. You just slam
I'll never,
that shit.
Or like back in the day, you know, they'd have the big picnics or whatever, and you'd be playing with your friends, and like, I got some pop over there. And you'd go and just like gulp down a Mountain Dew and then go and run and play some more.
Oh,
blood
like
sugar is bouncing off the wall. You're sweating. It's like, geez, no wonder
like the big ugly cooler opens, like the old Coleman cooler opens with some melted ice, and it's like different flavors of pop. Ooh, grape soda!
Yeah.
It's like,
love
take
it.
That down. Take that down.
Absolutely. So Diet Coke, that was the safe alternative. And I guess out of everything that came out back then, it probably was the better tasting you know, diet.
I think so.
Diet.
I think so.
And then, of course, it had all the great advertising, you know, just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. And, you know, had celebrities that were in the commercials and stuff. They would do those quick commercials, which was a rarity back then because you didn't see celebrities really in commercials back then. Now it's like they're on all over. But at back at that time, it was kind of like a, you know, you didn't do commercials. It was kind of like a sellout thing. But now everybody's selling everything, and it's all over. They would go, like, overseas to sell products, but they wouldn't sell them here. And now, forget it. Everybody's doing everything, which is fine. I mean, hey, you know, you got the credibility. You got the talent. Go for it. Make your money.
You want to do individual lists now? You want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I will go first then. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 14, I had root beer. Bargs, to be specific. Number 13, I had Mr. Pibb. 12, RC Crap. I had at number 11, I had Squirt. At number 10, Dr. Pepper. At number 9, Fanta. At number 8, I had Sprite. 7, Diet Pepsi. 6, regular Pepsi. Mm. 5, 7-Up. 4, I had Coke. 3, Mountain Dew. 2, Diet Coke. And number 1, Grape Freakin' Crush.
Wow.
Yeah. That surprised you a little bit, that Grape Crush thing.
Wow.
It's number 1, dude. I told you. It
number
is
one,
like...
Yeah, no reason why I had it like way low and you're like, oh, man.
I know, man. That was my number 1, dude. You really hurt me. Go
ahead. All right. Number 14, Fanta. The next one, number 13, RC. Number 12, Crush. Number 11, Mr. Pibb. Number 10, Root Beer. Number 9, Squirt. Number 8, Sprite. Number 7, 7-Up. Number 6, Pepsi. Number 5, Coke. Number 4, Diet Coke. Number 3, Diet Pepsi. Number 2, Dr. Pepper. And number 1 on my list is Mountain Dew.
Okay. All right. I was honestly looking forward to hearing your number 1. So yeah, we were vastly different. Yeah.
Yeah, I just love the diet version of Mountain Dew.
It's so good. No, and actually... I said that about Dr. Pepper being close to the original formula. I will say that Diet Mountain Dew is close to regular Mountain Dew, too, in terms of flavor. So, bravo.
It goes like this. I mean, it's like Diet Mountain Dew or Diet Dr. Pepper would be a go-to. Like, if I'm in the store and I see them, I would grab either one of those. The standbys are basically just Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke. That's really what it is.
Are there any honorable mentions like that? Because I mentioned Slice during that. I used to like Slice. And yeah.
Well, Sierra Mist is a good one.
Sierra Mist
is still out there.
I love that you mentioned Canfield earlier. Yeah. Now I totally remember that. It was like a jewel. You could get Canfield. Oh,
well, also, if you were in... if you were in the Midwest, there was also Wildwood. Do you remember Wildwood?
That does, yeah. Yes, yes.
So if you were out of the in the Midwest around the Chicagoland area,
yes,
there was Wildwood, and they just had cola.
Okay.
Or lime flavor. It's like,
wait, what about cream soda?
Yeah, cream soda is good.
I can never square that up in my brain. Like it just like it wasn't bad, but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, it was like, am I supposed to like this? Is this like milk? What is in this?
right. What am I? Is this a dessert or a pop? Like, what's going on?
It's almost like if you melted ice cream and then, you know, drank it.
It's like, I think I like it, but I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. There's very limited amount. Like, first taste, great. Second swig, okay. Third swig, yeah, I think I'm done.
Yeah. What about Fresca?
Oh, I love Fresca.
Yeah.
Love Fresca. And that, I wish that was on this list because that would have been very high up.
Yeah. I'm coming up with the honorable mentions.
That's another one, like a Sprite or, you know, a lemon lime kind of refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah. I love a Fresca. Let's get some Fresca.
Hey, man, you want to get some people together and go grab a couple Frescas down at the corner store?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's go down there, man. Remember when you could, like, return the bottles and get money?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other sidebar. Like the bottles, the Coke bottles, man.
Yeah, you'd return them. They'd come in the Coke bottles, and then you'd return them. And I remember there was like a big basket at the grocery store. You'd lay them in there, and you'd, you know, or get your money back or however they do it. I guess in different states they would give you like 5 cents for each bottle or what. I don't know how it worked, but I remember when I used to visit my buddy in Michigan, there was this corner store, and we used to go and take our bottles up there so we could go get more, you know, candy or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You felt like you were beating the system, didn't
you? We're beating the system. Yeah. We're beating the system.
You get on your BMX bike and go ride to the Jewel and hand those. Well, so now they don't make the large bottles anymore, but the mini bottles are fairly prevalent, like at nice restaurants or mediocre restaurants.
Yeah, no, nice restaurants, too. And it's always like that little mini bottle of the Diet Coke, which kind of like it kind of upsets me a little bit.
Yeah, because you don't get the free refills.
No. Did you just say refills?
Refills, yeah. That's the way I talk sometimes.
Holy cow.
Refill.
What was the, remember when we were at the train station coming or going to the Cub game? What was the comfortable?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Comfortable is the way I pronounce it. Like, most people say comfortable.
You add like that extra syllable in there.
It's a word weakness. Like it's one that I've not been able to overcome. Even as one who speaks for a living, there are certain words that I do struggle with. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm comfortable with that.
I am comfortable with that, Ryan. Any other honorable mentions here, buddy? There was generic pop too. There was like Jewel brand pop. It was like lemon lime soda, grape soda, orange soda.
And you would always see those at parties because they were the cheapest. And if the kids, that's the thing. If you have kids or you have nieces and nephews, and you always have these family parties. A lot of people don't like to buy the cans because the kids, you know, they'll drink half the can, leave it there, and then go get another can. And you got 17 half-filled cans. Mm. Just a waste. So remember.
Just a waste. It's just a shame.
Just do the 2 liters, okay? And make them have cups.
All right? I hate the 2 liters. But anyway, so I'm a bachelor, so.
No, I hate 2 liters, too. I never buy them.
Yeah, because they're never like the first glass is great, and then it just starts flattening.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Unless you drink the whole thing. I am full of grade points. All right. Well, this has been a wonderfully fun episode, Mr. Mitchell.
And let me also say, Mark, thank you. Mark has, if you've noticed, Mark has upgraded. He's fully on board with a broadcasting system at his home. So it doesn't sound like Mark's talking on a phone anymore. So you sound great.
This is the real me, folks.
And I guess that's better that way.
Yeah, that is true. We invite you to check out our podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. So basically, wherever you do your social media work, we are there. You can find us easily. You could just Google, let me put a list together, Mark Grody or Brian Mitchell, and you'll find us. So we make it very easy. It is free. It is fun. And we hope that you've enjoyed today's show.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll check you later.